How many of you remember last time I was up here? Yeah. This is my sermon notes from last time. And it was actually the sneakers that I wore while I was preaching, which was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. I spent most of my life in youth ministry, so anytime I can make it fun is good. I kind of ruined that particular thing. I went to Hawaii a couple of weeks later and helped Scott with the construction project. Painted a whole bunch of those posts that we used to put up the big roof, painted them black, and so the shoes ended up like all black. And then I had to use thinner to clean it all off, and it went away. But I'm glad that you remember that. Is that too much for you to remember? I mean, it's a lot. Love God, love people. So I'm going to keep it simple again this time. And let's see if I can get my notes to come up. Here we go. Radical New Year! Amen. Woo! Yeah. Did you look at your bulletin? What's it say? Radical New Year. Okay, what do you think when you hear the word radical? What kind of an emotion does that bring up in you? Does it make you think of bad things? Does it make you think of exciting things? Does it make you think of things that maybe you don't want to do? Does it make you think of something like this? By the way, that's me. On my 62nd birthday a couple of months ago, I went and climbed Monkey Face. And at this point, I was having a radical dependence on a rope. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is radical dependence. It was part of our Discipleship 101 series. Mike's nodding his head. He didn't know I was going to do that. Mike's nodding his head. It was part of our Discipleship 101 series where we talked about one of the marks of a disciple is a radical dependence. What's that stir up in you? Radical dependence. How many of us like to feel dependent? How many of us feel a dependence is radical? Well, let's see if we can define this just a little bit more. According to Merriam-Webster.com, yeah, even the dictionary's online these days, radical, in its adjective form, it means of, relating to, or proceeding from a root, such as, one, of or growing from the root of a plant, radical tubers, or two, growing from the base of a stem, from a root-like stem, or from a stem that does not rise above the ground. So, to have a radical New Year or be a radically dependent disciple means we have to be connected to or growing from a root. Jesus put it this way in today's text. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus uses the metaphor here of a vine and branches to illustrate the relationship we need to have with him. Everything that the branch needs to be healthy, it gets from the vine. Its sustenance, its nourishment, its root all comes from the vine. Paul, later on, would use the illustration of a branch being grafted into from a wild olive tree into the tree that was the nation of Israel, from where some other branches had been broken off. Right? Are you with me? Following me? This is kind of my theory of everything here. There's a lot of stuff going on. So, Paul used that illustration to describe the salvation of the Gentiles as they're grafted in. When I was a young man, I had a friend who had a nursery, and he sold ornamental plants. And I knew nothing about them. I just assumed that you planted an ornamental seed and an ornamental plant grew up, right? Have you seen those weird twisty bushes and the extremely curly willows and all of those things? they're not growing from their own stems. What I found out was he, in his greenhouse, would start stems of other trees or other plants, and he would graft cuttings from the ones that were already growing into that stem or plant until it got good and established, and then he'd cut off the part that wasn't the ornamental plant, which I found really fascinating, that he could take a branch from one plant, put it into another plant, and grow the plant that he wanted. Kind of interesting. Another thing that I learned when I was working on a farm, a whole bunch of years ago, and we would shake fruit out of trees to harvest it, and we were harvesting prune plums. And I learned that there's no such thing as a prune plum tree. Apparently, these trees that we were shaking prunes out of, the trunk, was actually a peach tree. Because for some reason, the peach tree root and trunk was more hardy than a plum tree. And so if they grafted the prune plums into the peach tree and then cut the peaches off, it grew great plums. Okay, there's a relationship there of the branch and the vine. Let's see what this next one is. Oh, abide. Abide is not a word that we hear a whole lot these days, right? It basically is talking about staying or being connected to. In the Greek dictionary, if you are into Strong's numbers, this is Strong's number 3306, a word called meno, which means to stay, to abide, to remain. And then there's all the occurrences of that word in the Bible. And you can see all of them are synonyms, which are talking about or relating to a state of continual being. Right? Okay. I love that word, meno. It's part of one of my favorite words to chase down in the Bible, which is perseverance. In the Greek, it's made up of two words, which is hupo and meno. Hupo meaning under, meno meaning to abide under. Perseverance, there's a little Greek lesson for you. Okay. So, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. This is where the dependence part comes in. We are dependent on Christ to be able to do anything. Anything. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. Does that sound familiar? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. This is a reference to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When God created, what does it say he did? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God said, let there be light. And there was, spoken into being. That creative word is Jesus. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This passage makes it clear that God created through Jesus and that life itself comes from him. It was what Paul was saying when he spoke at Mars Hill. Remember, he was in front of the Romans and they drug him in and they said, this guy is saying all kinds of strange things. And so he starts this sermon and he says, you know, I was wandering through your town and I saw a temple to an unknown God. Let me tell you about him. And what he came down to, and part of it was that in him we live and move and exist. Our life, our breath, our very existence comes from and through Him. In Christ is our all in all. We are dependent on Christ for everything. You get that? Everything. Let me say it again. Everything. Absolutely nothing came into being. There was no life before Him, and there's no life without Him. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. But if we abide in Him, if we have a radical dependence on Him, there will be what? Fruit. Very good. He who abides, waits, continues, endures, lives, stands, stays, waits in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Here's the deal. This is a cause and effect statement. You abide in me, fruit happens, right? It's a classic if-then logic statement. If you abide in me, then fruit happens. Fruit is the inevitable result of abiding. If you have a radical dependence on Christ, if you are connected into that root, if all of your life, your being, and your sustenance comes from the root of Christ, of abiding in Him, fruit happens. Right? What does that fruit look like? Oh, let's go on another route. Paul said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. If you have that radical dependence, if you're abiding, if you're hanging in there, and everything that you have and are comes from Christ, there's a comprehension that happens. And that's one of the things that stirred me up as I'm trying to put all this into a small enough package that you could listen to it and digest it. Everything comes through Him. And to try to comprehend the height and the depth and the extent of God's love to us in sacrificing His Son just so that we can have fellowship with Him, in wanting us to be all that we can be, that comes from abiding. When we abide, He'll actually expand our minds. Trust me, I wasn't that great a student in school. God expands my mind to think about Him in His entirety, loving me in my dependence. Okay. When we are rooted and grounded in the vine that is Christ Jesus, fruit. What does the fruit look like? What does Paul say in Galatians? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. If we're abiding, if we are looking more and more like the vine that we are grafted into, when we admit our sin, when we accept the sacrifice of Jesus, fruit happens. We begin to look more and more like our Savior. As we abide in Him and He abides in us, our lives change. Amen? Fruit happens. And this is what you can expect to see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do we see that growing in our lives? Do we see that Spirit of God working through us? Because when God is working through us, He changes us to the extent that our interactions with people, the way we see people, our lens that we see life through, changes. As we see each other, we don't see, a lot of times, the true person. God does. You know that God gives us sight to see beyond our flaws, gives us sight to see beyond hurts and perceived slights. God gives us eyes to see the person that God sees, and God loves them. Whether they look like us, whether they smell like us, whether their sin is like our sin, God gives us eyes to see what He sees. I had a friend once, his name was Johnny Cromwell McNichols IV. Yeah, John Cromwell McNichols IV was a hunter, loved hunting. Yeah, Wendell, you'd have loved him. Well, you would love him. He's still around. Don't worry. He's got two beautiful kids and a wife now, but he was a young man when I knew him, and he lived, ate, breathed, and thought about hunting most of the time. And we would go out and we would do adventures. We happened to be down on the John Day River, and we were doing a scouting trip for fishing adventures that we were doing on the John Day at that point in time. And so we were stopping at every little campsite, every little side canyon, just to check the ground out and the terrain. And we're walking up this side canyon and we're talking, and he goes, "Huh, something ate up there." And I was like, "What?" "Yeah, something ate up there. There was a meal." I said, "Okay, wait, how do you know that?" He said, "Well, see that patch of white up there?" And I'm looking and I see like 19 patches of white. There's little bits of white all over the place. But he said, "Yeah, that patch of white. That's bones, and because they're piled like that, it means something ate that thing right there." Wait a minute, hold it, time out. This is like 100 yards away. You're going to have to prove it to me. Well, in my house, it's cite your source. "Hey, I think this and this and this." "Really? Okay, cite your source." We have these arguments every now and then, but I was like, "Okay, Johnny, show me." So we hiked up there. And on top of a flat rock was a very small pile of bones. He'd seen from 100 yards away what I couldn't have made out 10 yards away. Why? Because his eyes were trained to see it, weren't they? He saw it because his eyes were trained to see it. He thought about it. He lived it. He ate it. He breathed it. All of his senses were open to, what are the animals in this area doing, where are they, and how can I find one to shoot? That's a lot like abiding in Christ and having God's sight and seeing the people around us and thinking, where's God working in this person's life? God loves that person. I want to share Christ with that person. I want to encourage that person. Let's get to that person today. It's the sight that God gives us when we abide, because it changes us from the inside out. We are grafted into, hang on for a second, hold on to something. We are grafted into the one that created everything. Just let that settle for a second. The power that spoke the universe into being, the power that created atoms, the power that took all the atoms and assembled them into things, and the power that took the atoms that he assembled into things, took some mud, mushed it together, breathed life into it, and there was man. That's where you came from. We can tap into that. Does that blow your mind? It blows my mind. I'm trying to slow down enough to tell you about it. And when we tap into that, when we abide in that, when we live in that, fruit happens. It's inevitable. You can see what's going on with a person's abiding by the fruit that's happening in their lives. And if we look at our lives and we don't see this, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we need to check our source. Where are we drawing from? TV, the internet, old school newspapers. Who are we spending our time with and getting some information and some connection from? Okay, as we abide in radical dependence, the Holy Spirit also gives us a gifting, right? That gift is for serving the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's the other thing that happens as you abide? Fruit happens, and God's Spirit works through you. And He develops in you a gift, a spiritual gift, that you manifest for the common good. I have a gifting. Can you guess what it is? One of them is teaching. I'm also a servant. You'll probably note that you don't see me a lot on Sunday mornings unless I'm running around somewhere from the booth, to the cafe, helping Eileen with the coffee and cleaning the coffee pots and doing all that stuff because I'm a servant. I like to take care of people. I want to serve people. That's one of the things that God has put in me that makes me feel like I'm being of value to Him. This is one of the other things that makes me feel like I'm being a value to Him. Do I love to teach? Yes. Do I like preparing for and thinking about and fussing over what I'm going to teach and whether or not it's the Word of God and whether or not I'm translating it correctly and giving it to you in the right way? Oh, that stirs me up and gives me belly aches and makes me all kinds of anxious because I never want to speak a word that isn't what God gave me to give to you. Now, when I'm done and I say amen and walk down, it's awesome. I'm like, God, that was awesome. You said some cool stuff that I didn't even write down, which is kind of what I'm doing right now. But He works through me. And guess what? If you're abiding in Him and fruit is happening, He works through you too. Every single one of us has been given a gift from God. Whether you believe it or not, I know a lot of you are going, oh, I got no gift. I'm all right here. But you do. It's like Oprah. You get a gift, and 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 God has given a gift to every single one of them. Everybody in the audience gets a gift. Yay! What are you supposed to do with it? Use it. Why? Hey, because we're the body of Christ, aren't we? And I've got this great illustration that I didn't get into my slideshow. I apologize. The climbing rope that I was hanging on in radical dependence. That rope is made of what is called Kern mantle construction. So it's got a core of a whole bunch of fibers that's wrapped with a sheath that's woven in all different kinds of colors, okay? And the way I like to put it is that core of fibers is the body. It's the church. It's who we are. And do you know what holds us together? Is God working through our gifts in thousands of acts of love. when the love of God flows through us in our gifting and we serve in our gifting, it binds the church together in the love of God. It's part of what holds that whole grafting together. So if we will hold on in radical dependence to God, does this sound familiar? Love God, love people. When we abide in Him, we're loving Him. Saying, oh, give me what you want me to have. Help me to see with your eyes. Help me to do what you want me to do. That's loving God. When we operate in our gifting, which comes out of our abiding, and God's love flows through us, we're loving people. People are what matter to God. You matter to Him. The person you're sitting next to matters to Him. The guy downtown matters to Him. Those people that, we don't really want to associate, guess what? They matter to Him. I guess that's all I really want to say this morning. Love God, love people, abide in Christ. Make fruit happen. Let's pray. Jesus, we are thankful this morning for what you do in us and through us and for us. God, you are our everything. Our life, our breath, our very existence comes from you. Help us, Lord, to abide in you. Help us to give value to spending time in your word. Help us to give value to spending time talking to you in prayer. Help us to give value to spending time serving you by serving the church. Father, you are everything to us. We thank you for doing everything for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.